Today, your guest host, Karen Benton, is here. Karen is a mother, nurse practitioner, certified body talk practitioner, Franklin Method instructor, and owner of Limitless Living LLC. Joyful, abundant, and bursting with energy. Here is your guest host, Karen Benton.
Welcome to The Truth is Funny. I just heard that bursting with energy, and I want to put a caveat. Not every day am I bursting with energy, so let's make that clear. I am honored to be your host on Colette's show every third Wednesday of the month. My intention is to provide information, science, experiences, and stories for your true nature to emerge upon. Our explorations are intended to enliven within you your own capacity to experience transformation. We invite you to call in live 1-800-930-2819 and know that all of this is available for podcasts on all the various websites, transformationtalkradio.com, truthisfunny.com, karenbenton.com. It's going to be on my guest site as well. So I am just thrilled to have for the second time on the show, Allison Wesley, who is a Franklin Method faculty co-author of Understanding the Pelvis with Eric Franklin. She leads her own corporate yoga company, Working with Yoga. She lives in Portland, Oregon, which is also the setting of her therapeutic movement series, which you can all get online, called Through Movement. When she isn't teaching classes or conducting workshops or writing, she enjoys samba and salsa dancing and her two beautiful dogs. She also plays original music in a band with her husband and loves the Cuban food at his restaurant. She's a stepmother to two children, will forever be trying to learn Spanish. I love that part, right? Aren't we all forever learning everything? Allison, thank you so much for joining us on the show. The title we agreed upon was Anger as a Tool for Transformation. And I first want to offer you my gratitude for, I don't know, just you being you. Allison posted, so I was thinking about doing the theme for this month around anger. And then I know Allison through our training in Franklin, and I've learned so much about my body through her, and just being around her is one of those people that I always have that thought of, I want to be more like her. But one of the most powerful things was she had this post on Facebook that was so raw and so real, and it hit me because it's funny. I think I kind of have I have this Aries personality, and so I see her softness and her open acceptance of everything is something I want to bring more into my life. And so without giving too much away, Allison, would you share a little bit about what your post was and how that inspired what we're going to be talking about here today?
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you again for having me. That was quite an introduction. So I had posted basically about not just anger itself, but the need to recognize anger and how in me, and I don't think that I'm unique in this way. I don't realize that I'm even feeling angry until something else shows up. So I'm the kind of person that, like you're saying, you're Aries, I'm Cancer. Everything for me is water. So everything for me is crying. If I'm moved, if I'm remembering, if I'm, you know, whatever, I'm crying. And so I never really get to acknowledge if I'm angry or not. And then for me in my life, it comes up in other ways. My skin, you know, my eyes, I get eye problems, indigestion, that whole thing. And that's always a little clue as to, oh, okay, I think I was angry about something. And I didn't realize it. I didn't let it move.
When did you put the two together? Like, how long did it take you to realize, right, that this was your body possibly expressing something like anger, right?
Yeah, I think it's the way that you learn, and I'm hoping now to be able to predict rather than have to look back, because before it was like, you know, you explode. So I would have maybe two or three times in my life I can think of where they were quite dramatic, like, you know, little old me exploding and saying things that I would never even think to say or doing things I would never think I'd be able to do. And realizing if I connect the dots and I look back, you know, that, okay, right before that I had a back injury. Right before that I had a sty that wouldn't go away. Right before that I was having stomach problems. And you know, then connecting the dots and going, oh, I've been angry this whole time. I didn't let it move. I didn't acknowledge it. And then I exploded. And so I think for people, probably for everyone, but especially, you know, because we're taught not to express anger, and we're also taught not really, we're not taught how to do it. It can just fester and become something else. Yeah. So for me, I feel like I don't really know it until I look back.
And we're subtly taught to not express it, particularly as women, right? And I would not take men out of this, because, you know, men, particularly in the climate that has been building in the last 20 years, there's an element of them expressing anger is dangerous as well. So, and suddenly anger feels wrong and we don't even know it, right? Mm. So when it starts to bubble up, we judge it on some level, or some of us do, right? And some of us judge it in that moment and then push it down. Some of us explode and then spend a week in shame or guilt, right, over how awful I was or whatever it might be, you know, and everyone's experiences are so different. And I think that's one of the things that hit me so powerfully is sort of how we're on some level polar opposites of that. Usually I'm the one sitting going, oh God, why did I do that? You know, after, you know, my weekly explosion, yeah. You know, or as my husband said to me last night, when was the last time you danced? You know, Ellie, I think you can feel the energy started to come up, and I'm like, damn, you know, you don't want to hear it in the moment, what might actually serve you a lot. What would you say in your body mind is the way that you say, you know, you want to catch it before? We're dancing around the idea that it's definitely not always possible to catch it before for some people, right? Like,
you know, absolutely.
And then for other people, it's so dangerous for them that they put a lot of energy into trying to catch it before, right? Which can be draining, you know, mm-hmm. if your world says, this is not at all safe for me to express. I need to make sure this is never happening to me. But how would you describe how that experience starts to percolate and bubble up in you? Maybe the feeling and sensing.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things where you, via experience, you sort of learn the little signs, right? It's kind of like, how do I know when I'm hungry? You have that feeling in your stomach, and you know, but before that, I don't know about you, but you know, everyone when they're 18 and they leave their house and they're trying to feed themselves for the first time, it's like, I don't know when I'm hungry, right? You're just eating. And then you have to figure out, oh, this is what that feels like. Oh, okay, this is that sensation in my gut, and I can feel what I want to eat. And I think it's the same with this, as far as actually before our podcast today, I had everything planned out, right? So I thought I had all of this control this morning. I had my breakfast, I had my tea, I had all of this time, and I come downstairs to turn on my computer and get on early, and my computer is updating. And it's like out of my control, and I realize instantly, you know, I'm not breathing, I'm getting tight, I'm feeling impatient, I'm angry at the computer. And it's like, you know, I because of this is our topic, I had a little chuckle to myself, because it's like, oh, here it is. This is the exact experience. It's fresh in my mind. And all of these things feel really, you know, usual. Like I felt them before. It's like the tightness in my chest, I'm not breathing. I feel this kind of like, you know, this outward movement, like daggers from my eyes. I'm looking at the computer and I'm trying to control. And, so for me, it's things like that, you know, it's like tightness, not breathing, blaming someone else, you know, that kind of experience.
That's a big one for me. That's almost the key for me, is if I'm in my head blaming someone else, it's unexpressed anger. Now, I just took a course, reviewed a course that I had taken. You know, it's probably my fifth time taking it, because I'm a body talk practitioner. And I want to read a little bit of it and just see what you think about it. Because I've heard this many, many times, but it was something about the way this woman, her name is Tracy Clark, described it that really hit me in a different way, right? And I like to mention that because you may hear the same sentence. It's the 10th time you hear it that you get it in a different way, right? Which is why it's so important to hear everybody's different stories, because it holds a different frequency. And it may just be the story that gives you that aha moment that allows you to have a little more space for yourself in that moment. But so emotions are chemicals in the body, right? And when the brain wants to create an action, that's the chemical that's produced to create an action, right? So I think, like you were saying, you know, emotions in our world are something we may unconsciously spend a lot of time running away from. I don't know what the right word is, like avoiding, running away from, thinking they're not bad. Does this mean I'm depressed? Does this mean I'm anxious? Does this mean I, you know, there's something wrong with me? That's a thing we're always battling with. Yet this description to me brings a physiological, you know, you actually create neuropeptides when you have an emotion, and the design of it is to move things through, right? Uh-huh. And each emotion has something different. So what do you think, like, what do you think anger does for, if anger were to benefit you, how would you say, and I mean, that could be a really tough one, right? Because.
Well, I think that's I think that's really important, because I think in most, you know, even like meditation and most like spiritual practices, it's seen as something to kind of, you know, observe and let it pass through. And it's kind of this like gentle approach, but I also think that it's necessary to give us fire, right? We need fire, we need spark, we need drive, and sometimes that's the motivation, right? Sometimes we're angry because of where we are in our lives, and that's the spark that's like, I'm going to change this, right? And so I think we need that, you know, it's like the kick in the pants.
Yeah.
And for me, those few experiences I talked about before where I blew up, they all preceded a huge life change where I was too disconnected before that to realize I was unhappy in a marriage, for example. I needed that just explosion to get that kick in my pants to change. Without that, you know, I stay watery and I stay the same and I stay stagnant. So I think it's really important to use it.
I hear these parts of you, right? She breaks us into parts. Her name is Robin Sawyer. And I love that, you know, so it's like part of you thought you had to stay in the marriage and she was in conflict with the part of you that was like emerging and growing and, you know, throwing out tentacles to something different and something new. And they were like going at each other.
Absolutely. And I think it's like, okay, you didn't hear me the first time. Let me get louder. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. But I think it can be very useful. And I also think it's, you know, if we equate it with elements and we think of it like fire, which is usually what it's associated with, that's the thing that helps us, you know, metabolize and get moving and have energy and have spark. And
The things that the teacher I was working with like specified were productivity, motivation, and activity, you know, and when those things are stagnant or inert or chaotic, whatever you want to call it, not actually having a flow to them, we get destructive, right? Like when there's an unconscious stagnation to being productive and creating action, these emotions will arise to help us move through them, right? Like there's nothing like a little bit of anger to get you going in the morning.
get
you up out of bed, like whatever it might be.
Yeah. And to also change, you know, not just your own life, but your interaction and dynamic with others. You know, like to witness anger from the outside as a vehicle for change, like your partner, you know, coming to you and feeling angry at something that, you know, maybe you had a hand in, that's also a spark for change. you know, seeing that from the outside, realizing, wow, I had a hand in creating this anger, then I need to change something. We need to change something together.
Yeah, together, right? Yeah. 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 Which then, like, it serves both of you in some way, right? Like, as opposed to just sort of staying quiet and content, right? Floating along with the way things are. I guess that's what you call watery, right? I like that. I kind of get that feel, like that floating along with things how they are, which then I think of the body, right? Like, well, you know, I have this pain, but it's fine. You know, like.
Yeah, I'm you can only do that for so long, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can only cruise for so long. And I think we need those little, like you're having maybe every week. That's cool. That means you might have a changed life every week.
I mean, I feel like it's there, you know, there's no constants right now, you know, besides the fact that I'm pretty much on my property.
Yeah.
97% of the time. That's the one constant is the view on the outside, but on the inside, you know, what I'm feeling and moving and curious to get a different perspective on. And I find emotions to be one in particular. And it was interesting because I posted your Facebook post where you were sharing this experience of anger not always being recognizable to you and how it sometimes it expresses itself in your physical body before you have the opportunity to become aware of it, which mm-hmm. then gives you maybe the opportunity to get curious about it. And mm-hmm. a couple of people responded and they were very much like, oh my goodness, like I lost it last night in a way that I wouldn't normally lose it. And so I think what's so important is to kind of share that as a collective community, which means a raw share like that on yours is such a ripple effect to the whole world to give them an opportunity. You know, someone who says, oh, you have that too?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you suddenly, you can dissolve that there's something wrong with you, and then you can make a little more space for what it might mean for you, right? And like you said, each time it means something different, right? One time that maybe means you need to take a little lens into your marriage to maybe leave the marriage, maybe not. Maybe it's something that you need to look at each other differently about. But the funny thing is that's the thing with emotions. They don't come with an instruction book.
No, and you know, often you can't change. This is prime Franklin method and meditation and yoga, and you can't change what's outside of you. And sometimes you can't change your situation. But by recognizing that it's creating anger in you, it's a big flashing red light saying you need to change something. Maybe it's the way that you're perceiving this. Maybe it's the way you're caring for yourself, you know, so that you can start to work with what can you control? And even, you know, coming back to this, like I'm turning on my computer and it's updating, I had that glimmer of like, I can't make this computer move faster. And that was the impetus behind that feel in my body of like, oh, you know, come on, move. And it's like, that's actually impossible. I have zero control over this computer. So what can I do in this 2 minutes while I'm, you know, kind of out of control of the external, how can I feel the anger? Let it be felt and then move on, you know?
So and how do you feel it? What do you do?
I think I just let myself get, for me, it's very elemental. For me, it's very heat related, you know, like I can almost feel like a surge of heat through my body. And I try to imagine, I give a little more imagery to it. Like I really try to imagine that it's kind of fire that's coming up that becomes smoke. And then there it goes. You know, and let myself have that like, wow, yeah, I'm feeling really warm. Interesting. You know, feel that fire, which is similar to, you know, the other thing I put in my post that I think is crucial is so far we've talked about how to recognize anger, but there's also like, I don't know if this is kind of an out there word for it, like prevention or maintenance, you know, of just like making sure that in your daily life, in your movement practice, that you're doing something that has that fierceness, that you're continuing to, you know, to try on the hat a little bit and to feel anger and just kind of play that character, all the stuff from the week gets to come out.
So good. It's so true.
You know,
in my own life, right? Like I had stopped working out hard because there was a period of time where it hurt my body too much. And it's been brought back into my life probably right towards the end of our Franklin training. Like my body now, I have new patterns that allow me to do it without pain. And it's funny how like I keep being invited, you can go actually harder. You can go harder, you know, and that doesn't mean I have to go harder for a whole hour. That I've rewritten. I can go really hard for, you know, however many minutes, and really hard could be also be spontaneous, like just kind of, like my own little, you know, how often do we just let, but this is Franklin, right? How often do we just let our bodies like go the way they want to go versus moving it the way the instructor tells you to move it or, you know, which makes
And like you said, your husband asked if you've been dancing, if you danced, you know, it's like, That was the first thing that came to my
And how funny other people, our loved ones, can see it in us, you know, often more than we can see it in them, right? Or I mean in ourselves. That's not what I meant at all. Look at me. Just push it aside. This is not about me seeing myself at all. This is about before I can see it in him. No, it's all about him. No, but I mean like before I am even aware of it in myself, because I'm so in it. And this is what I do for a living, right? Like energetic, physically, I've been a nurse for, you know, I've been in the ICUs, I've done it all. And disconnect is nothing we're ever going to be done with.
Ever.
It's protective on some level till the awareness happens. And then how can we get clear on what supports us? But I'm still picturing maybe you sent me the photo of yourself. That's the one you have to share next on Facebook. Or was it on there? Is this the one where you're kickboxing with your father? And you're
oh yeah. I think I haven't posted that, but I will. Yeah. I love that picture because
you know, Allison, and you see a picture of her like this with her leg up, you're like, yes, this is great.
Yeah. And it's kind of, you know, for someone like me, I think even that post before I put it up, I had the thought, it felt really important to write. And I also had the thought of, wow, people are going to be a little surprised that I'm even mentioning anger as a possibility, because I think I don't, you know, I don't really portray myself that way unless you sit down and talk to me and, you know, but as a yoga teacher and all of that, I don't know if people really have that vision of me. And so I don't really have that of myself. And to see that picture, it was really cool just to see even my face in it, because I'm focused on the punching bag and I have a story in my mind, like, what am I kicking? You know, and that's why I kickbox and box with my dad right now virtually, which has been really super cool about the pandemic, is we can meet virtually and he can talk me through, you know, different throws and different combinations. And he's always, putting it into practical application. You know, if someone grabs you from behind, so I have a whole image of like, okay, someone's behind me, and it's, you know, you can think of it as a person, but it's also just that feeling again of like, I don't have control. Right? Someone is trying to control me. How do I get out of this? And I love that feeling. And that's kind of my maintenance, is to just go all out, punch as hard as I can, kick as hard as I can. I don't think I've ever worked out as hard as I have with kickboxing.
Do you actually have a bag that you punch, or you just punch it there?
I have a bag and gloves and
That should be advertised everywhere, that you're like this amazing yoga movement imagery human who boxes. You know, and I think there's so many women in the world, you know, myself included. I mean, you've witnessed me. I've been in classes, you know, where I, opposite, you know, what's not necessarily easy for me is to just let the tears go. And I've been in more recent experiences in my life where I couldn't stop crying. But I also couldn't leave, where my other, you know, I used to run away from it and hide and go cry by myself. And I literally was like, no, I want to still keep getting the information in class, but I can't stop crying. Yeah. But, you know, the beautiful group is everybody, you know, was fine with that. Because I was, you know, available to be present for myself in that moment, kind of, I wouldn't say I was present in that moment, but afterwards I had that moment where I was like, oh my God, like I made space for myself to have whatever experience I was having, even if it made people uncomfortable, which I'm sure it did, but that's not what it's about, because it's the discomfort where we start to possibly ignite that little flame for transformation, right?
Absolutely. And I think, you know, we're talking about anger, but this applies to every emotion. You know, it's if you shove it down. So if you're a crier and you're shoving down anger, or vice versa, if, you know, you're a more fiery person and you're shoving down tears, it's going to come out somehow. It's going to manifest somehow. So I think that's why it's important to have a practice that has a variety of things, which most things do in general, right? So like if you go to a yoga class, you get to pretend to be a warrior.
Yeah.
In the same class where you get to lay on your back and be soft with yourself, you know.
And I'm going to hold you on that, because we have to take, it goes so fast.
Oh, yes.
We have to take a little break, but I want to get back to that, you know, that two things, duality is a word I wanted to use, but, you know, warrior pose and lying on your back, being soft with yourself, as two aspects that I think you really understand and can share through your own experiences of offering people both of those as we continue to explore the role of anger in our lives. So we will be right back on The Truth is Funny. I'm Karen Benton. I'm here with Allison Wesley. And we look forward. Please call in if you have any questions, comments, shares, you name it. We're open to it. 1-800-930-2819. Okay, great. We'll be right back.
Tune in to Lucid Planet Radio with Dr. Kelly Neff. This hit show will illuminate your senses and empower you beyond your daily stressors and hardships. Renowned psychologist and author Dr. Kelly will captivate you with far-reaching topics and amazing guests as you wake to the greatest version of yourself. Learn to tap into your intuitions, think critically about our world, heal emotional and psychological wounds, and follow your passions to live your dreams. The Lucid Planet. Welcome home. Visit lucidplanetradio.com for more information.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Do you sometimes feel overwhelmed by your mind? Powerless when it seems to spin in worry circles or bombard you with self-critical thoughts? Do you want to learn how to master your mind and feel more in control of your life? Listen to Dr. Friedman's Empowerment Radio, Shift from Confusion to Clarity, Self-Doubt to Confidence, and from Anxiety to Peace and Balance. Dr. Friedman and his many guest experts share the insights and tools you want to live with greater ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in to Empowerment Radio every first and third Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific Time.
Are you ready to transform your life and embrace magical experiences? Talking to Tanis with your host, Tanis McRae, is here to help you find your joy in life. Tune in live every first and third Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let's awaken your experience and create the change necessary to take back your right to choose who you are. For more about Tanis, visit TalkingToTanis.com.
how's it going, if it's stressful or just plain exhausting. New Light Living is here to ask, is this the way you want to live? Join me, your intuitive spiritual life coach and host, Erica Sullivan, every week on New Light Living. Discover the power of creative tools to start living every day as your ideal dream day. See your life in the new light. To learn more, visit newlightliving.com.
Hello, we are back. I couldn't know if that was it. So we are back on The Truth is Funny. I'm Karen Benton, and I am the guest for Colette every third Wednesday of the month. We're so thrilled to have you here with us today. My guest is Allison Wesley. And Allison, if you could share your contact information with the audience so people can take your classes from anywhere in the world, thank you very much, coronavirus. We have access to incredible teachers, which I'll tell you, audience, I've been doing it regularly. I've been taking Allison's classes because I love her as a teacher, and I just love being in the community. So you too can do it from any in the world, and tell us how.
I think the easiest website to go to is my Working with Yoga website. So it's all together, Working with Yoga. And if you go to practice and go search classes, it has all my Zoom classes and workshops and things coming up. You can also just go to my website, AllisonWesley.com.
And right now you're doing three regular classes a week, right? That anybody could join in. Just list them for us.
Exactly. Yeah. So Mondays, this is all Pacific time. At 11:15, I teach a Franklin Method class.
I try to be in. Join me there.
It's so fun. It's a really fun class. Some people just really get into it. It's super fun. Tuesday mornings at 8:30 Pacific time, I do yoga. And then Thursday mornings at 8:30 Pacific time, I do a circuit workout, which is, that's been really fun. I have all of these different cards with exercises, and we kind of embrace the unknown and pick out of the cards what we're going to be doing that day. And
come on, do you have a card for a minute?
Yes, I have all my cards. Let's see.
So it's great. She randomly picks a card, and then that's the exercise that you work on. So this is, and it's so fun. Like,
oh, diamond. It's backwards in the screen, but I have right. One that says diamond push-ups.
And so for you to know what a diamond push-up is, you'll have to go to her class this Thursday, which is tomorrow in the morning, 8:30 a.m. Pacific time. Or she also, you can send her a little bit of whatever. She'll send you the videos, which I teach at that time, so I can't always take them, but she sends me the videos, which I just have so much fun doing. So what we were ending off with before the commercial break was this idea, which to me is so powerful, that in a yoga class, you know, you can be experiencing the warrior pose and quiet presence with yourself in one class. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I think that's the beauty of yoga, and probably other, you know, other forms and things. There's a moment where you're at your fiercest, right? You're experiencing power. You're pushing yourself a little bit to that edge where it's like you feel a burn, you know? And I don't mean that in the ways of like physical tension, but just that way of like, wow, I didn't know I could stand in a lunge for two full minutes and breathe my way through it and feel it and let it, you know, be expressed and let it flow through. And here I am pretending to be a warrior, you know? And I always think of that series and that pose in yoga as like the avatar of Allison. Like, what is the avatar of?
I love that.
Right? It's like, I have a whole image, and I try to get my students to feel the same, where it's like, you know, warrior, we might not all identify with that. There's a whole beautiful story about it in yogic philosophy and yogic history. But if you don't know it and you don't necessarily relate to it, finding your own version of like, when you have to face something so challenging, like, you know, what image you have of yourself, that's your warrior. But then in the same class, you lay on your back and you breathe and you touch your belly and you feel the softness. And I think, you know, we need all of those pieces, or else we get stuck just being a warrior or just laying on our back.
Oh, it's so true, right? And I think that's how we started the show, talking about like your, you know, your comfort is being, you know, it doesn't even feel right to try to use a word to describe it, but you know, anger is not something that's as, you know, emerging from you every moment, where anger is something that naturally comes out of me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and we tend to have certain activities and expressions that are our comfort level. And it's super important to be participating in all expressions and seeing them all as valuable, particularly the ones that make us uncomfortable. I think that's what you were saying, right?
Yeah, and that's beautifully put. Yeah, and it's kind of like playing pretend, you know? It's like, I may not really have much to feel angry about right now, but I'm gonna play pretend and punch this punching bag. And, you know, then I'm getting it
and
out.
And then tell me, once you get into it, are you kind of like, whoa, where did this come from?
Yes, because I'm like, wow, I'm like so that. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that's sort of similar to that. I don't want to work out. I don't want to do exercise today. And then if you somehow get yourself to cross the line, your body goes absolutely, you ever have that? Like where your body's just like so into it. Like me, I'm of course doing videos and stuff. So I'll be like, I got to do another half hour.
But see, for that, like the balance is important. So we also need to, you know, you can't be that productive all the time. You can't punch a punching bag all the time. You need to lay on your back sometimes. You need to even stop doing things around the house, or, you know, remind yourself to be soft and present. And I think all of those things are, we just need to find the balance.
And how cool that that's worked in with such awareness to your yoga classes, you know, that to really, and I'm, you know, it's one thing to be doing it. It's another thing to be doing it with an awareness, because just your awareness and your wisdom comes out for all of the participants in your class, because you've spent time and energy into exploring it. Mm-hmm. And then it offers that energy field that people can tap into without words, which I would say is probably why I'm always so drawn to like do anything you do. I haven't taken a yoga class yet because I still, yoga, I did it incessantly for years, and I still, so many poses give me issues with my knees. So I tend to do other things, but perhaps, right? Knees are usually about fear. So perhaps that's an area that I can start to explore. See if you get.
Yeah, you might be surprised.
Yeah, which I mean, I used to love yoga. My husband, I mean, and back when I was doing it, like 2099, like I had to drive 20 minutes to find a yoga class, you know, like, and then it was me and my seven few people that did it. And of course, it was an hour and a half class, and it was a half hour ride back, and I had two little kids at home. My husband was like, "Where do you go? What is it that you do? Like, you need 3 hours to do it?" And I'm like, "Yep, and there's no other way about it."
Yes, I do. Yep.
But I just remember that Shavasana being, I had never, you know, after a yoga class, I had never felt that peace that I would feel after doing yoga, and then taking the time to sit and notice and feel lying on that. So it's so important. So believe it or not, we have a caller.
Ooh.
I don't know if you have your chat box open, you can see it, but it's,
so I do.
It's raw. Should we bring him in and see what?
Yeah.
I'm going to assume Raul is a man. I have no idea. Zach, could you bring the caller in, please?
Absolutely. We have Raul from Seattle. Raul, you're live on The Truth is Funny.
Thank you. Hi, Karen. Hi, Allison.
Hi. Welcome. Thanks so much for calling.
Of course. You have two expertises that I love some wisdom. I want to share a little bit of my story. For last year, I haven't been able to step fully on my left foot. I get the shooting pain, and it seems to be something like sciatica, but my lower back doesn't hurt. It kind of goes away, comes back, goes away, comes back. I can't run, too much impact, and I do a little bit of yoga, a little bit of everything, and I would like to shift that. I want to be more active, if you don't mind.
How does this make you feel, like this experience you're having? Like, what do you feel when you?
Oh, very frustrated. Very
frustrated, frustrated, right? It's an interesting thing. The theme of our show today is anger. But one of the things I did, and I wrote them down, but I don't know where I put it, was, I wrote down all of the synonyms for anger, right? Because we feel like anger is like, frustration, annoyance, fury, rage, violence, ill-tempered, resentment, acrimony, animosity, indignation, irritation, right? There's all these different ways that feel so different for all of us. So I would actually just say, because we're going to play with this on a scale of 0 to 10, where would you say you're bothering about this falls? Like 0 would be no bother at all. 10 would be the worst ever. 5 would be average. What number would you give yourself on a level of?
Today I feel like 8.5 because I can't step on it. I have to walk very slow. So today I feel like 8.5.
All right, so let's explore a couple things. Allison, do you have anything you wanted to explore at this moment, or do you want to?
I mean, I feel like this is so multifaceted, right? So probably what's happening physically is there is some kind of, you know, pressure impingement on the sciatic nerve that goes down to your foot. So I would suggest, you know, getting it looked at for sure, just in case. And maybe when you're doing yoga, spend a little more time in the like cobra kinds of poses and not so much time in the forward bend kind of poses.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's tricky because often, you know, the things that it's kind of like we're talking about, the things we're drawn to or the things that are not always the thing that gives us balance. And generally, with that nerve that goes down the leg, it's going to be a little bit happier if you do things like, you know, you lay on your belly and you lift up for cobra kind of thing. And cobra is a snake, right? That relates to like expressing anger, which is exactly what we're talking about. So I would say on a more like emotional, psycho-emotional level, to be able to really look at when did this start? What was going on? Were there any other things going on? Like, you know, how was your appetite? How was your skin? How were your relationships? You know, was there anything around that that you can remember?
No, yeah, of course. Would you like me to share?
Yeah, sure. I mean,
I mean, because I even before you go further with that, like the left side of the body in many philosophies is related to the thinking, linear thinking brain, right? So have you been experiencing a lot of overthinking, analyzing, trying to figure out things? And I laugh because you're really not alone, right? Like, aren't we all trying to figure out what in God's name is going on in this world right now? I'm not laughing at you, I'm laughing with you. Because as I even say it to you, it almost seems unfair to ask you, because aren't we all doing that right now? Like, you think you're like, okay, I can go with the flow, and you flow for like an hour, and then you're like, what in God, right? Like, but there's this element, if we're doing a lot of thinking and figuring out, the left side of our body may start to, you know, particularly the heel is about groundedness, connecting into the earth, right? And if we're thinking and all of our energy is up in our brain, we can disconnect unknowingly from the earth plane. And that kind of is what's coming up. So I would add in to you, besides doing a little bit of energy medicine, because despite the fact that I'm in science and I'm a nurse practitioner and I have all this background, we are all just energy, and just through our connection here on the voices, we can impact each other. And Allison's words and her wisdom behind it will impact you and your physical body. So we're just visualizing that little, you have a minor chakra in your foot that has so much to do with groundedness, connection to the earth. And we're just strengthening that connection to your heart, which is where the essence of you exists. Right, that part of you that is playing all the roles, but you carry with you in all the roles. It's not your worth and value is not actually held in the experiences you have on earth. It's just in the fact that you're here, you have incredible worth and value. And as your heel connects into that heart energy, and there is a more open exchange of information between the two, that will ripple out to the whole rest of your body, including all of your organs, and kind of get the whole community of you on board for becoming more aware of what this is offering you, right? What does this heel want to teach you? What does it, it's your body talking to you. So before you share anymore, just take a nice breath in and out and just let that kind of sink into you. And then I would ask you on a scale of 0 to 10, where do you feel right now?
I will say 7.
So we came down a little. And then go ahead, share what you were going to share.
I Well, when a year ago I was in South America, in Chile, I moved down there because of a woman that I fell deeply in love, and the relationship was not working so well. I started to neglect my body for whatever reason. I've always been active. I'm a skier, so my legs are very important. I've always been very important to me. So, and then I started, I stopped moving. I spent a lot of time sitting down and watching TV, watching interesting stuff, but I was not moving. I didn't do anything for a whole year. And then the pain started. I still didn't move. I went to the doctor and I didn't do the follow-up. And my relationship fell apart, and I moved here. I moved back to Seattle, to the Seattle area. And now I've been moving more than, in the last 2 months, more than the whole year. And all of a sudden, the pain comes back, and it's really frustrating. Really frustrating.
Yeah. It is interesting, right? The body stores on some level what we haven't processed. And I'd offer you to reframe it a little bit in curiosity of that, what this sensation is inviting in you is the key to letting go on some level, which is not like a trying, but more of like a surrendering, to bring in a deeper sense of the wisdom of what you're ready to bring forward for you in new relationships with exercise, new relationships with movement, new relationships with people, new relationships with the earth, new relationships with your business. Home.
Right. I mean, it sounds like you've moved around, and Karen's talking about the foot and, the way that we're relating to being, having our needs met and having our home and our safety. And so I wonder if you do a little work around like really letting yourself be where you are now in Seattle and really trying to feel that as your home after you've had some moving around and some, kind of disruption in that field. And I think now that you're getting moving again and you're doing more with your body, while you're doing that, all the stuff that we're talking about today, having just that little maybe ticker tape in the back as far as like, okay, when you're taking a walk, maybe every now and then you take a quicker walk and experience like the frustration burning out of your body, right? Or if you're in yoga and cobra, when you're in cobra pose, and you breathe out, let yourself be like the snake and, bring your tongue to your teeth and give a little like a little hiss. So you can imagine that is even kind of like dissipating like the snake. You can kind of put it into the things you're already doing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Totally. One of the things that if I were, after all the overthinking that we've been doing and the crashes that we're going through, I can lose everything, but my physical body is, for me, the most precious thing. That's why it affects me so much.
Yeah, but keep in mind, it's not happening in a vacuum, right? Your physical body is reflecting all the things that you're ready to move through, right? Let go of. New aspects, new stories about yourself are ready to come in. And when we, I've been in the healing arts for 27 years, so anybody who's got something like this coming up, I get really excited about, because you're really, those sensations wouldn't be there if you weren't ready for some big changes. And it's about, exploring different ways to get to know yourself more deeply that will only amplify the joy and abundance that you're able to bring into your life, because you simultaneously are making room for those things that, and those emotions and those feelings that don't fall under joy and abundance as equally important to feeding the joy and abundance. If that makes sense.
Yes, it does. It totally,
So Raul, I want to thank you so much for calling in, because we have Allison, if you want to like keep listening, is going to lead us in a little meditation to kind of wrap up our time together. But you can contact either one of us to follow up a little bit more about this, taking the Zoom classes with Allison, whatever feels. I do one-on-one sessions. I also do Zoom classes. So, know that we're thrilled that you joined us here, and I'm excited for you, and I look forward to hearing as your journey continues.
Thanks so much, ladies. I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much, Raul.
Bye.
So I'll lead everyone through a little embodiment, and this will be something that you'll physically do. So you can be sitting or standing, but not driving. just in case, if you're driving, just save this for later. So we are going to, on purpose, try to experience the feel of fire, like the very positive feel of kind of burn, and then we're going to use that. So I'm just going to sit up a little taller in my chair, and I'm going to take my arms so that my palms face forward. So later we'll have a video of this. If you can't see us right now, we have our elbows bent, our palms are facing forward, and we're just going to make a fist, kind of squeeze your fingers in, and then flick open. So you'll flick your fingers open, spread palms, and we'll do that repeatedly. So we're going to make a fist, flick open, make a fist, flick your fingers open, make a fist, flick open, and start to do it really fast. So it's like fist, flick, fist, flick, fist, flick. And what I'd like for you to do is to do this really quickly for as long as you can until you start to feel that kind of squeezy, burny, like fiery feel through your forearms and maybe your fingers, like almost to the point where I need to take a rest. It's fist, flick, fist, flick. Of course, we're breathing in and out. So we're kind of stoking the fire in the forearms, which in yogic anatomy is really how we relate to the world, right? Okay, Karen, are you feeling fire yet?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Me too, forearms are on fire. Okay,
like,
so we're just
gonna... going.
I do this a lot, yeah. Okay, so go ahead and release and just rest your arms and close your eyes and feel. And you might bring to your mind the image of flame, like at a fireplace or fire pit. And imagine as you breathe, as though each exhale is letting that fire become steam and flow out through your fingertips. Your body's mostly water when fire meets water, when heat meets water, it becomes steam. So let's imagine that fiery feel we have in the forearms and the hands becomes steam and trickles out through the fingertips every time we exhale. And if there is anything specific that you'd like to throw in to the fire, maybe it's something as simple as your computer needed to update this morning, or maybe it's something else. Imagine actually throwing that into the fire. Let it burn. Let the exhale carry it out as it's transformed to become steam. Take a few more breaths, just allowing that transformation, that shift, fire to steam flowing out of the body. And if your eyes are still closed, you can just gently blink them open and come back into the room around you. Notice if it just feels a little bit easier to be here.
Awesome. We have exactly 1 minute to wrap it up from that, which was absolutely perfect. Oh my goodness. I so enjoyed doing this with you, Allison. This was so fun. Thank you so much for taking the hour out of your day. And I just know we're going to do it again because the whole physical combine, everything about it is so fun. So thank you so much. One more time. What is your website?
WorkingWithYoga.com.
WorkingWithYoga.com. And I'm KarenBetton.com. If you can always just get in contact with me to get in contact with Allison. So I want to thank the audience out there. We are just thrilled to be sharing, our own experiences that may be igniting any type of opportunity, space, curiosity, that brings your own ability to transform your own life, which just means surrendering into its natural intelligence, right? Because our bodies know how to do it, right? Sometimes we just have to get out of the way while we're flicking and imagining fire. The natural intelligence just does what it needs to do, which is so beautiful. So we're here next month. I'm here next month. Maybe even Allison will be. Who knows what the world has in store for us. And Colette is back next week, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Pacific time. So thank you very much to all. Thank you, Zach. And thank you, Charul, for calling in and sharing his story. And we look forward to next time. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.